As I said this morning, we're in our series, week six. It's amazing how time literally seems to fly, doesn't it? Week six of our question, really, who is Jesus? Of course, this is a question countless people have asked long before we may have first asked it at some point in our life. People have asked the question ever since he was born, of course. Right at the very earliest of days, people were wondering who it was that had come, who this baby was. And it's a question, of course, Jesus asked his own followers at one particular time that's recorded for us in the Gospels. He'd spent time asking them, who do people say I am? He was interested to hear what was on the ground, what other people thought about him. And of course, they answered, well, some think you're a prophet, some think you're this, some think you're that. But the key question was that he then turned it on was, well, who do you say I am? And it's become a key question, really, hasn't it, throughout the ages. Who do I say Jesus is? How have I encountered him? What do I think about him? And as much as the other 11 stood there twiddling their thumbs, looking down at the ground, it was bold Peter, of course, who stood up and declared very clearly, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What a moment of inspiration that was. And Jesus commended Peter, recognizing that it was something that was within him that was coming out of him, something that only God could have revealed to him. When Jesus asks, who do you say I am? Then we must be ready with our response towards that. For Peter, Jesus revealed in the walk that they'd had with him, decision made, but we too are confronted with that same question. So we've been looking at the I am statements that Jesus spoke that were recorded for us very neatly in John's Gospel. All seven statements that Jesus made are provocative, they're intriguing, they're eye-opening, and I think perhaps even dangerous as well. But all of them reveal something about who he is and compel us to make a response. Of course, seven statements are never going to be enough to fully know everything about who Jesus is. But I hope that maybe this has helped you make your own search in this process as well. And maybe as you've read around these statements, as you've read through the gospel again, maybe you've discovered even more about who he is than you ever knew before. And I hope and pray that maybe this has given confidence as well. If we're asked the question by somebody else who's wanting to see who Jesus is for themselves. Today, John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Of course, this image of light is a recurring theme within the biblical story, right? From Genesis chapter 1, when God responds to the formless and empty and dark earth, he speaks the words, let there be light, and there was light. In Exodus, the story of the Exodus, the pillar of fire gave light to guide the people of Israel out of Egypt so they could travel day and night. Then Isaiah makes this incredible promise that one day in the darkness, the people will see a great light. And then right to the end in the book of Revelation and God's promise in Revelation 22 verse 5, there will be no more night for the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. And John joins that great theme of light as he recounts what Jesus says. And in his prologue in John chapter 1 verse 9, he says in that prologue, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John saw it, John discovered it, and John recorded it so that we too might understand a little bit more about Jesus. Now what we've tried to do during this series is not only look at this statement, the I am statements, but to look around it at the context for where this statement stands in John's account of the story of Jesus. What has John written before it? What has John written after it? And right in the center becomes this statement from Jesus, I am the light of the world. So if you go back to John chapter 7, if you've got your Bibles there, then you'll see that this is the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, Sukkot, the Feast of Booths, one of the great Jewish holidays celebrated for 7 days, one of the great three pilgrimage festivals on which the Israelites were commanded to go up to the temple in Jerusalem and celebrate this particular festival, the Autumn Harvest Festival, and a commemoration of the Exodus from Egypt. And so that's the sort of opening context to what Jesus has to say in his statement. And as part of this great festival of celebration in Jerusalem, huge lamps were lit in the temple courts, giant torches were illuminated the whole of the city of Jerusalem, all symbolizing God's presence leading Israel through the wilderness and the hope that God would one day send the Messiah to a people who were walking in darkness. And so you can imagine the scene. The lamps are still smoldering. The crowds are still buzzing with excitement. The memory of God's guiding fire is in the air. And Jesus stands up and says, I am the light you've been waiting for. Not the temple lamps, which are just a symbol. Not the pillar of fire, which was God's presence with his people. But in me, I am God's presence. I am God's guidance. And I am God's hope. I'm not just a light, I am the light of the world. You can imagine the questions that that must have provoked when Jesus did that. Questions that were already hanging in the air that same time. John chapter 7 verse 1, we read there that the Jewish leaders are looking for a way to kill him. John chapter 7 verse 5, Jesus' own brothers did not believe who he was either. John chapter 7 verse 12, the crowds were whispering about Jesus in this moment. Some of them said he's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives people. And then in John chapter 7 verse 20, some thought he was demon possessed. The crowd are split. Who is Jesus? A prophet? The Messiah? And into all of this, Jesus speaks, I am. As we've said before, this is the title that God gave to Moses and said to Moses, I want to go, you to go and speak this title to the Israelites as proof to them that, that God would lead them out of Egypt and set them free. And so in the air that day, and I think it's still a valid question for us as well, have the people who are walking in darkness seen a great light? Has that become reality in Jesus? And is that the reality for us as well, that we too can offer to a world in darkness? So a few things about light. Firstly, the light of Jesus reveals. John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light definitely shows us what's really there. When we turn on a light in a dark place, we see what is really there. We don't need to imagine it anymore. We don't need to try and work out what's there. We see the reality of what is there. Now, sometimes that can be comforting. Sometimes, perhaps, it isn't quite so comforting when we see what is really there, because light exposes things. Perhaps light exposes things that we've ignored for too long. Maybe patterns that are part of our life that have just become normal. Maybe areas in our life that we would prefer to keep hidden. And if we're honest, this is where following Jesus can often feel a bit uncomfortable, because his light reveals some of those dark areas that are happening in our lives as well. And so into the darkness, Jesus brings light that not only reveals but also heals those places that we are not pleased to see when the light is shining on it. The light of Jesus also guides, of course. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I love that imagery because it's not talking about a light that we can see in a far distance. A lamp shows us the next step in our lives. A lamp for our feet. It's just the next step. That's as far as a lamp is going to reach for us. It may not show us the full path, but just this next step that he invites us to take. Now, I realize that for some of us, that isn't so helpful for us. Some of us, we want a 5-year plan, maybe a 10-year plan. We want to map out where our life is going ahead, and then we know where we're going. Sometimes some of us, we want certainty about outcomes when we make a decision. We want to be certain that something is going to come that's good of that. Sometimes we want clear guarantees that if we take this step, then everything is going to be just right. But Jesus offers something different to us. He just offers his presence in the next step that he is asking us to take. Not control, not certainty, but his presence, his companionship with us. And while some of us are still waiting for answers or waiting for solutions or waiting for certainty about what is going to come in our lives, the light of Jesus is enough to show us the next step. And I think and believe that if we can trust him for the next step, then he'll show us the next one, and maybe the next one, and then our lives will be going along his pathway rather than the one we've chosen for ourselves. And the light of Jesus also gives life. John 1 verse 4, in him, in Jesus, the eternal word was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Without light, of course, nothing grows. You can look successful on the outside, in your career, in your relationships, in your achievements, but you can still feel that something is missing, that it's not the life that you felt he had to offer you. But we aren't designed just to survive, are we? We're invited to thrive, to flourish in the light of God's presence, to find that place of life that he came to bring us. In John chapter 8, verse 12, in this statement Jesus made, he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Darkness in the Bible isn't just evil. I think darkness in the Bible is often confusion or lostness. It's trying to live life without God's presence. Darkness can look like being overwhelmed by everything that's going on in our lives. Darkness can look like anxiety that constantly hums in the background of our lives every single day. A sense that says, you know what, I should be further along in my life by now. Or the pressure to perform or to impress, or the feelings of being an imposter even, trying to keep it all together. That's where those dark places can often be. And it feels sometimes like we're stumbling along in the dark. And if you've ever had the experience of standing on a piece of Lego that wasn't tidied away in the dark, you'll know how painful it can be when it feels like we're just stumbling. But Jesus isn't shaming us for that. He's inviting us. He just says, walk with me, because whoever follows me will have the light of life. And that's his invitation. Life offered to all who will follow, to know something more about who he is, walking with him, living out every day, aligning ourselves to his purposes. So what might that look like? What might living in the light look like in your life today and tomorrow? Whether you're at work, whether at uni, whether you're in conversation with others, the groups you're part of, what will this look like? Well, I think it can look like integrity when shortcuts are very tempting. I think it can look like being a person of peace when everyone around you is anxious. I think it can look like being present when everyone else is distracted. I think it can look like compassion when people you meet are finding life really difficult and you can offer them compassion. And I think it looks like purpose when the tasks we face feel very mundane. Walking in the light means inviting Jesus into those moments. Maybe going into the meeting or the conversation that you're dreading. Maybe making the decision that you're very unsure about. Maybe the conflict you're avoiding or the email you're tempted to send far too quickly and you pause for a moment. There's so much to living in the light of Jesus. That may mean we slow down enough to actually listen to the people around us. When we choose patience, even when we're tired and exhausted. When we apologize quickly when we've made a mistake. When we create moments of joy in what seems like a vacuum of despair. And where we let Jesus shape the atmosphere in our home, in our work, with the people who we encounter. But here's the good news as well. that the light doesn't just help us see, it helps others see Jesus in and through each of us as well. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How might that happen? Well, can I encourage you to look to Jesus daily? Look at his light. Look at the light he's shining. Realign yourself back towards him, the light of the world. Not as a task, but as a source of what you need for each day. Will you walk with Jesus intentionally every day? Invite him into your real life, into your calendar, into your journeys, into your conversations. Walk with him. And then reflect Jesus naturally. Your light doesn't try to shine. It just shines. It just shines. That's all it does. And if we can stay close enough to Jesus and receive from him, then maybe we will too, so that others will see him. You know, Jesus offers each one of us a pathway that is lit. He doesn't promise we'll never face darkness. He promises we don't have to walk in it. He doesn't promise clarity about the full extent of our future, but he promises himself. And I pray that that will be enough. Because the one who said, "I am," the one who lit the wilderness, the one who lit Jerusalem, the one who lit the empty tomb, he wants to be light in your life as well. C.S. Lewis, I have to get a C.S. Lewis quote in. He says this: "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, because by it I see everything else." That's what Jesus is offering, not just a brighter life, but a whole new way of seeing and living out the life he's given to us. You don't have to figure everything out. You're just invited to stay close enough to the light, because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world."